you join me in prayer? Let's pray. God, may the words of your beauty and grace, your words, be spoken through me as we join our hearts and our minds together now and contemplate your message to us. We pray in the name of Jesus, our brother and companion, our Savior and friend. Amen. We are, without question, a society that is food-oriented. We have so many ways to connect with food. We watch cooking shows on television. That's usually what Lisanne is watching late at night, if any of you want to know. Food on television, food on podcasts. We can turn on any cooking type that we'd like. I'm going to have to look up that bread. Yes, that one. If I put that in YouTube, I'm sure I'll find it. We have our favorite restaurants, our favorite supermarkets, especially when there's two in town to choose from. We have our favorite food brands. Some of us orient our lives so intensely around specialized foods that they have a special name for it. They call it foodies. Those are people who really relish creative cuisine. On the other end of the spectrum are those who also love food. They're just not quite sure ever where they might get their next meal. They too have favorite recipes, they have favorite foods, they probably have favorite supermarkets, they enjoy creative cuisine, but they remain hungry most of the time. The power and economic disparities of our society limit their choices and limit their resources. These are people who are considered food insecure. Now, I imagine that, like me, you might be somewhere in the middle. You might, like me, neither be a foodie, but also not food insecure. I don't worry about having food, but I also don't worry too much about what particular food I do have. The biggest food-related problem I have, which I understand pales in comparison, is that I have no imagination, no skill when it comes to cooking. What takes my daughter 10 to 15 minutes to prepare takes me at least an hour, and I'll still burn it somewhere along the way. You think that's just a preacher's joke, but it's not. They will tell you. I'm fortunate enough to know that food is readily available to me. And while my choices about how I prepare it are so unimportant, I do think that the choices I make about where I get my food and who I eat it with are critical. You might notice that whenever we read about Jesus in reference to food, there are always other people around. Don't see any stories about Jesus having a cup of tea and cracker by himself, right? For Jesus, eating was as much about gathering as a body, as a community of faith, or simply a group of friends, as it was about nourishment. He fed as few as two on the road to Emmaus, and as many as 5,000 on the hilltop. At the Last Supper, he presided over a meal with his friends, and through that meal filled both their bellies with nourishment and their hearts with courage. For Jesus, food served as a means of communicating his promise to sustain and give life to those who followed him. There is a bakery that I'm quite fond of on the premises of Gould Farm. The Harvest Barn Bakery makes some of the best pastries and cookies and breads in Berkshire County. I should say the best, right? Not some of the best. It also provides work readiness, work experience, life skills, and psychiatric rehabilitation to support people who are in recovery and learning to live with mental illness. I remember one of the first times I visited the bakery. I arrived on a day they were making bread. The guests and staff were busy mixing ingredients, kneading, shaping, proofing, and baking. I had to check all those terms to make sure I got them right, because I have no idea what those terms mean. But that's what they were doing. And after they had finished, they sliced and packaged the bread to share with the community. Each day at Gould Farm, and Saturdays and Sundays, just in case you want to go up there to the bakery or the cafe, it's just a little plug on the side. Each day, at every meal, we enjoy the fruits of the labors of those bakers. They make bread for all of us to eat. Whether enjoying Gould Farm maple white, maple wheat, multigrain, or sourdough, wow, that sounds like a commercial, we know that this bread, all of it, is a lifeline. It's a lifeline for the people in this program. It's a sign of potential, of capability, and the value of recovery. It is a sign of promise. It is the taste of competence, a job well done, and it is a gift to be shared with others. And that gift demonstrates our interdependence as a community. This is bread, but it is also life. It's interesting to note that in every one of the stories of Jesus feeding others, the most common food item that Jesus provided was bread. It's not so surprising when you realize that the Hebrew word for bread, lechem, means food in general, and thus life itself. In the old world, bread and life were inextricably intertwined. Without bread, you died. Bread and grain are also used in the Bible to teach us about our responsibility to each other. In Deuteronomy 24, which Ron read for us just a minute ago, the people of Israel were told to not harvest the corners of the field, but leave them for the hungry that will pass by. They were to share some of their bounty as a tithe, a portion of grain, wine, and oil, together with the firstlings of their herds, would be set aside as usual to take to the temple to eat as a thanksgiving to God. And then on the third year of the harvest, the same tithe was set aside for neighbors in need. On the seventh year of the harvest, all loans and outstanding debts were to be forgiven. Oh, that we lived in that time now. As such, bread became a tool for justice and a social safety net. Bread teaches us that we must feed each other, or some of us will die. Whether as manna from heaven, as daily bread, or as the bread of affliction, images of bread in the Bible have always served to remind us that the Holy One not only blesses us with food to eat, but feeds us and comforts us with spiritual food as well. Over and over again, bread is used to point away from itself and to the fact that we are dependent on the good creation of God and on the Creator and on one another. Through the struggles of life and faith, we learn to rely on God, who is the bread that sustains us and the ground of our very being. But not everyone can fully entertain such awareness of God's spiritual sustenance. Because of the very real, gnawing ache of hunger that distracts them. While the Great Recession of 2008 is far behind us, the ranks of the hungry continue to grow. When we think of the continued growth in the numbers of people who are in need of assistance, the picture of what Jesus and the disciples did up on that hilltop in the feeding of the 5,000 comes into very clear focus. We didn't read that story just now, but I think you might remember it. There were thousands of folks showing up to hear Jesus teach. They were looking for help and for healing and for hope. Just imagine the lines. Imagine the anxiety. How would they feed all these people? On the mountainside, when Jesus asked Philip, "Where shall we buy food? Where shall we buy bread to feed this crowd?" Philip went into an anxiety tailspin. It can't be done. Andrew said, "There's a boy here with 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, but it's not enough." In her book, Take This Bread, writer Sarah Miles insists that the whole point of the Christian faith is transformation of those systems that fail the most in need. Christianity, says Miles, proclaims against reason that the hungry will be fed and that those cast down will be raised up. Jesus offers food without exception to the worthy and unworthy, the screwed up and the pious. And then, she says, he commands everyone to do the same. Many churches live out this vision and call to feed the hungry through regular participation in community dinners, soup kitchens, food pantries, food drives, and other support services. We know of those churches. We all likely participate in some of those churches. In these economic times with high food insecurity, we're discovering, however, the limits of our charitable actions and must think about the bigger picture and why so many people do not have enough food to eat. Today, 1 in 10 adult residents in Berkshire County is food insecure. 1 in 10. And 1 in 7 children are as well, meaning they do not know where their next meal will come from, or they skip meals, or they cut back on the quality and quantity of their food in order to survive. Berkshire County ranks among the top 3 counties with the highest rate of food insecurity in the state of Massachusetts, our county. When I served as an associate pastor at a Reformed church in central New Jersey, I had a chance to observe one congregation's project and attempt to respond to this problem. They collaborated with a local feeding program. This congregation joined with a nonprofit organization to create what they called a Better World Cafe. The nonprofit staffed the cafe with students in their culinary school, which provided job training to those individuals who were homeless or on welfare. And the church provided space for the people to come and eat in a restaurant-style setting. The menu was simple and made from locally sourced, healthy ingredients. Sometimes, again, I didn't know what it was, but I trusted them. It was a pay-what-you-can arrangement, which was new to me. So many people, like myself, paid full price for their meals. Others who did not have the means to do so either paid whatever they could or volunteered to wipe down tables, to wash dishes, to do whatever they could to assist. It was a new model for giving a space where all people could eat together, regardless of income, where people could afford good food no matter what income they had. But the Better World Cafe was not just a place to eat. It was also a place to experience community, to be welcomed with open arms and wide smiles. My office happened to be immediately across the hall from the cafe, so given my insufficient culinary skill, I ate there quite a bit. Yes, bread was eaten along with salads and soups and sandwiches, but patrons feasted also on spiritual food. They were part of a community who shared a vision for a world without hunger, based on mutual respect and dignity, many faiths, but parts of one body. Jesus, the bread of life, was present in that small church-based cafe, and his love flowed in and through each morsel, lovingly prepared and eagerly eaten. In Latin, the term for companion refers to bread. Com is with. Panis is bread. The person with whom I break my bread is my companion. From this concept, we gain new insight into the gospel phrase, he was known in the breaking of the bread. I believe that God is revealed not only in the bread and wine at communion, but whenever we share food with others, particularly strangers. I believe that the fruits of the earth are for everyone without exception. I believe that we can find strength, sustenance, and life in such companionship. Maybe, just maybe, if we join together many members of one body with open hearts and open minds, miracles will happen and people will be fed. We will be fed because it is in and through these acts of compassion, companionship, and justice that we encounter the risen Christ. Through our sharing, the world will know the power of God's love through Jesus Christ, who is, Brady, what is he again? The bread of life, right? Amen. Oh, yeah.